host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today it's a great pleasure to return to have as a returning guest my favorite, the leading expert on the scientific issues involved in the destruction of the World Trade Center. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering with a specialty in Structural Engineering, a Master of Science in Engineering Mechanics, also known as Applied Physics, a Ph.D. in Materials Engineering Science from the Department of Engineering Science and Mechanics at Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University in Blacksburg, Virginia. She maintains a website and is doing, in my judgment, by far the most important work in seeking to figure out what actually happened on 9/11. It's very easy, and we have demonstrated across the board that what the government has told us is false. But figuring out how it was actually done presents a great deal of challenging issues, and she is in the forefront of trying to resolve those issues. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Dynamic Duo, Judy Wood. Judy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, now I gather you've been putting together a new page here, and that we'd like to go through this new page, and that the new page can be found at a link, drjudywood.couk, drjudywood.couk. Am I right?
No, it's drjudywood.co.uk. I think you forgot the dot in there.
I left out a dot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, drjudywood.co.uk. Right, exactly. Okay, I'm now on the page.
And this is a temporary site while I'm building my site, trying to move away from tripod because they corrupt my files so that no one can read them.
Mm. Well, that's not so good, is it?
Nope. And this one doesn't have pop-ups.
Okay.
Be careful. Some of the links don't work. The ones in the center part do. The billiard ball thing doesn't work yet, I don't think. But what we're going to talk about is the second row. It says molecular dissociation from dust to dirt.
Right, molecular dissociation from dust to dirt. What we're doing on this program is pioneering a new form of communication using the radio to talk about visual images found on the computer. And, of course, it's Internet communication all the way around, but the point is we're combining the voice with the images and achieving a new and more powerful tool of communication. Judy, so molecular dissociation from dust to dirt, where should we begin?
On the second picture, we'll do a little bit of a ramp up, a little bit of overlap of what we covered before. It says fuzzballs, and it's a black and white picture with fuzzy, you know, clouds around everybody's feet.
So should we click on that?
Yes, click on that, and you should get a new window with that page on it.
Okay, I've done it. Molecular dissociation from dust to dirt, fuzzy blobs, fuzzy balls, and venting.
Right. What I click on is fuzz balls.
Fuzz balls? Okay, that's number Roman 9. Capital Roman 9, fuzzballs.
There's a shortcut at the top.
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, and this picture, this was my aha moment when I started looking at this picture. And, you know, sometimes folks say that I do wild speculation about whatever. I don't know what I'm speculating. I'm looking at pictures.
which photo are we talking about, Judy? Which number?
It's figure 62.
62, okay.
But what I'm doing is noticing what's going on. There's a lot we can learn from these pictures of the overall story before we start zeroing in on one little detail. And let me tell a short little story. I was thinking of an analogy. If you never knew about nuclear explosions before, and you saw what the day after Hiroshima, you were trying to figure out what happened, and somebody finds a little penny on the sidewalk with some scratches on it. Oh, some animal must have chewed on it. Oh, but that animal did it. Just studying one little detail isn't going to, and if you don't consider anything else, you're not going to get the right answer.
Yeah.
It's important to look at the overall thing and then start homing in on the decision trees. And so here's one thing that, it was a fork in the road with this one. that really gave some clues. This is about 30 minutes after the second tower went poof. Notice the blue sky.
Yes.
We're upwind of the WTC complex. The toasted parking lot is burning over there, so that tells us also what time it is. The fire is, you know, starts building, and the dust has settled out of the air. But then you start noticing their feet. The people over on the right in this intersection, I'm talking about figure 62.
Yes.
The fuzzy feet.
Yes.
That fine of dust did not have time to settle out of the air. And the air would be that clear. That's coming up from the ground. If it was that fine to begin with, it wouldn't have settled out that quickly.
Very strange.
So you have large dust particles landing, settling out, and then breaking down into smaller dust particles. Folks will say, oh, they're kicking it up. Well, it has to be there in order for them to kick it up. Where did it come from? And as we go down a little bit more, figures 65 and 66, some great pictures of these, I call them fuzzballs. And again, I'm giving simple names to phenomena not yet defined, so that we don't cloud our judgment. If you assign a scientific term and you don't know what exactly is going on, you're biasing your observations.
Yes, because the scientific terms have very precisely defined meanings. And here we're talking about situations where we don't know what concept actually fits, and therefore it's premature to assign it a precisely defined meaning.
But we do notice this phenomenon, and so I've given it a name, fuzzballs. It's different than fuzzy blobs, fuzzballs. And they're around the feet, and the feet kick them up or step on them and activate something. And then a little bit later, it starts coming up all by itself without anybody walking around. If you notice in figure 68, you see this haze kind of coming up from the ground. And figure 69, it's interesting. I've noticed several pictures like that where the people's face is bright red. It's interesting.
But, oh, 69A. Face bright red.
I don't think it's exposure here because I've seen several like that from different sources.
Huh.
Very nice fuzzballs up deep. And so as we continue down, we see this, like figure 72, you see in the background how it's coming up from the ground now by itself. It doesn't do that initially, and then we people start walking on it, starts coming up, but now it comes up all by itself. And thus we have a problem. If it's on the pile, they can use the myth of molten metal and its fires, and that's what this is, smoke from fires. But if it's coming up from the street, how do you explain that? Do you have molten metal running underneath the street?
That's good.
So we need to deal with this somehow. Well, you can start scrubbing down the streets, watering them down, and wet it down and scoop it up and haul it away, which is figure 76. You can see where they've maybe treated it with chemicals and dumped water on it. It looks like salt.
Yeah.
The side of the road, like after a snowstorm, is melted off.
That's right. It's nice, wet, smooth. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Week today, my special guest is Dr. Judy Wood, the leading scientific expert investigating the events of 9/11, especially with regard to the destruction of the World Trade Center. And we're viewing her website at drjudywood.co.uk. That's drjudywood.co.uk. And if you get there, click on Fuzzballs. Judy, we're down to figure 76, which is you astutely observed as after the streets have been wet down and cleaned off, and that's like very fine sand, wet sand.
Or it's fine that we don't know how fine it is by looking at it. We can see that dried up stuff over by the cars looks, it kind of reminds me of calcium carbonate, from salting the roads.
Mm-hmm.
After a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And they've wetted down the roads and scooped the stuff up or cleaned it up, and they need to clean the roads. The next picture picture 77, is looking down West Street south from just north of that intersection where we started up above, and look how clean the road's getting.
Yeah.
This may be the next morning. It's morning, so from morning sunlight. But it's interesting that car over to the right on the side hasn't been towed away. They're very fast in cleaning up this dust, or whatever it is. And you see it still fuming in the background, the haze. And the picture on the right, figure 78, if you look down at the pavement, if you click on the picture, it enlarges.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look down on the pavement, it looks like they scrubbed it out with a toothbrush.
You know, the pavement's super clean, and there's still some muck over here right beneath the ATF agent.
It looks like there's a car or something parked over there. They haven't quite cleaned that up yet, but the middle of the road, they've scrubbed that.
Yeah.
It's debris isn't getting tracked in and out there. And
yeah, that looks like even like it's been vacuumed, for crying out loud.
They just cleaned with a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Figure 79, that came from the paper I did with Morgan last summer. And this struck me. We were just putting together things that need to be addressed. And the scrubbing of the street was amazing. We joked and said the lower Manhattan was not the only recipient of a hose job.
Yes, I like that.
But they scrubbed the streets repeatedly. You know, and you're tracking stuff in and out, you know, frequently, but it was a lot of cleaning. So,
well, this indicates that somebody in charge knew what in the hell was going on.
Yeah, well, we don't know that yet. We're just taking the data. But it's mighty peculiar to have scrubbing the streets higher priority than looking for survivors.
For example, yeah.
You know, that picture above, figure 77, you had street cleaners going up and down the street. That impedes the passageway for rescue workers. why would they be having a street cleaner go up and down the streets? So it begs the question, what if we saw above what was coming up from the street? The streets would be fuming. So that cleaning the streets and scrubbing the sidewalks takes care of that fuming that would otherwise need an explanation. So what do you do with lawns? The front yard. How do you scrub that?
Mm-hmm.
So the next picture is in front of WFC2, right across the street from World Trade Center 1, the footprint of it. And what we see is some beautiful potting soil.
Yeah, I'm struck by the quality of that soil. We've just been doing some work, some landscaping around my house, and that's what I thought when I first looked at this. It looked about that quality.
If you click on the picture, you get a bigger version of it. But yeah, it's uniform and it's
nice, dark, rich.
So why would they bring in this potting soil and dump it there on the lawn in the front yard of WFC2?
You'd think they'd be moving in the opposite direction, clearing debris away from the building rather than adding dirt to it.
The interesting thing about this picture is the guy on the left has a red face as well.
Yes.
You could say maybe the color exposure of the picture might not be quite right, but that's an awfully red face. It's always the color of his helmet.
Yes, it is. And there's a flag right behind for a contrast.
Yeah, so
those colors look pretty natural to me.
Yeah.
Look at the flag, look at the jacket, look at everything else, look at the dirt, look at everything else.
And so it's we're just taking in data and just keep noting different categories and similarities. But this dirt is puzzling. Well, one thing is they use dirt to cover chemical spills. Dirt absorbs the toxins, and then they scoop it up and haul it away. It begs the question.
And of course, at that point, it's itself, what, toxic, or has it neutralized it?
No, it absorbs it. And so then you're taking the stuff away rather than having it all the air and wherever else. You
can... Like a sponge for water.
Right. That's a good analogy. So here we're going to click to the next page. We haven't been to page 3 yet. And when
okay.
You click on the next button. We should go to dirt 3.
Yep, I'm there.
Okay. And we'll start down.
Cut the same picture.
Yep. And we'll pick up where we left off on that. And the next picture is looking the other direction in front of this building. These pictures are from the FEMA site, you know, government agency, your tax dollars at work. And it's from the 16th. Well, they entered it in the system on the 16th. You know, perhaps it was taken then or before. It wasn't taken any later than that. I wonder if I'm competing with others. Mine's a little bit slow in loading. All right, now I've got it. Yeah, and the second picture, figure 82.
Yeah.
You have to crack up laughing when you see this. You have this crumpled up fire truck, and it's got dirt inside of it, dirt under it, dirt on top of it, like it was attacked by dirt.
That's fascinating.
The tire is still holds air, but why does it have dirt inside the cab? How did it get there?
Yeah, why was it put there? Right. Hey, stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today is Dr. Judy Wood, and we're at her website, drjudywood.co.uk, and on the page Dirt 3, and we've been working through the photographs, and we're down to number 82. Judy?
Yes, and we were talking about the dirt that's inside the fire truck.
Yeah.
The crinkled fire truck. Like somebody had to go out of their way to throw the dirt in there.
Yes.
It's also not the same type of potting soil. It looks like it has other debris in it.
Yeah, this looks like inferior quality, as though maybe they've run through the best quality soil. Though there's some, you know, if you look on the ground now behind the guy in the orange vest and so forth, that's better quality.
Right, as it laid out there. And
yeah.
Far distance, more of that potting soil.
Yeah.
And we go on to the next picture. We see, again, soon after the event, we're looking kind of northwest, across West Street. And there's notice how much rust there is on those pipes.
How much rust and how much dirt has been tossed in there.
I get dirt all over everything, too.
And, of course, these dogs, which I think were, you know, cadaver-sniffing dogs, most of them died very shortly after all of this.
They don't look like their feet are burning. They've been down there trotting around the stuff. So it's not hot, but it probably feels like it is if there's something funny going on.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is part of that pedestrian walkway.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, finished collapsing after they loaded up with dirt. Yeah, it's kind of
yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? That walkway was still standing, wasn't it, after the towers fell?
It's sort of standing. It was slumped down on one end.
Uh-huh.
But that rust starts, you know, standing out. It's all the same color. And it's only been a few days. The steel doesn't rust that fast. Okay, now we go on to the next two pictures of the Bucket Brigade. This is another puzzling event. You know, there's when the World Trade Center was built, remember the bathtub that
mm-hmm.
out the water, and there's bedrock down there, and it's all nice and clean. You got parking garage, and you know, you got stores, malls. Where does this dirt come from?
And we're talking about copious quantities. This has to be a sample of tons of dirt, tons of it.
It's piles of it, and it also begs the question, why the Bucket Brigade for this piece of scrap material? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
That isn't human body parts. You wouldn't put a piece of metal in there, would you? The buckets up the line. I'm wondering if the buckets went down carrying dirt. to put into, tuck into little places. But you couldn't carry in all that much dirt.
This doesn't look like a very efficient way to get rid of the debris either. I mean, that bucket is tiny. I mean, look at the volume of debris you're talking about in that little tiny bucket.
Well, why
that would require millions of those buckets, Judy, to get that stuff out of there. Millions of them.
Looking for human remains, then why are they covering it up with dirt?
Yeah.
Bizarre thing. And if you click on, like, the first picture, you'll get a larger image and get a closer look at that dirt.
Yeah.
Oh. But it's, you know, definitely added to the... add to the scene. And the next picture down, picture 86.
Well, it certainly wasn't in the towers when they came down.
I don't think so. And it's a forest bowl. Figure 86, you click on that one and make it larger. It's an exercise room across the street. And it had dust that blew in through the windows. That's not dirt. That's dust. And it sticks to things. That doesn't look the same. It's very fine powder. It doesn't look the same as that dirt. So that dirt is not dust. And going to the next picture.
Before we go away from this one, Judy, looking through the wheat checks, what the pile of debris in the background, is that?
That's building 3, WTC.
Okay, that's 3. Okay.
A little stub left of 3.
Okay, thanks.
And behind it is the outer wall, western wall of WTC2. But
okay.
You can see it's only a couple of stories tall, that little stub. And you've got a piece of wheat checks between the one stabbed into the pavement and the stub.
Good, thanks.
So moving on to the next two, we'll concentrate on figure 88. That's a picture looking west. And where you start wondering if what they're bringing in is dirt from a landfill. That's one way of getting in all the pens and pencils that you would expect to see in an office.
And it might also have a lot of mixed debris inside it, too.
Yeah, to look like it belonged in an office.
What that thing looks like, a space helmet there.
That was the center of the fountain that was in the plaza area.
Oh, really? Huh.
That was the centerpiece. One thing that's kind of interesting is that guy that's leaning on the flagpole.
Uh-huh.
His blow is nothing down there.
Say again?
You can see below into the sub-level parking structure.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of wonder if he's going to fall in there, but there's nothing down there. It's empty underneath the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bizarre. And that was pretty soon afterwards. And the next picture, picture 89, is one of my favorites. New piles of dirt, little lumps of it. First of a landfill, it appears. And the in the background, the pile that you see is from WTC1, and it's getting taller. Notice it you know, kept growing with time. As the dirt came in, apparently. You see it, figure 89?
Yeah. I'm wondering if some of those pictures that Jenkins was wanting to use against you were taken later when the pile had grown higher. Most of them were perspectival issues, but...
I don't know which pictures those are, but here I notice there's a lot of fresh dirt, especially in the foreground on the bottom of the picture on the left.
Yeah.
It's neatly stacked. You know, it's clean between that pile and the next pile. It's like it was dumped and it hasn't been spread out yet.
89.
Yeah. That's a wonderful picture. It's right in the middle of the plaza area. Figure 90. I lightened it, and if you want to get the dark version, there's a link you can click to on the bottom. I see I don't have that link fixed yet, but it goes to the photo bucket site.
You lightened it for the reason that?
Otherwise, you couldn't see what was going on there. I just lightened
it. I see.
If you want to, you can click on it where it says source in the bottom left corner.
Yeah.
And you'll get the original picture from the FEMA site. It's a huge picture, but you'll see what I mean about how dark it is.
That's a haunting picture.
It's really dark. You can't very well see what's on the ground, so I just brightened it up.
Well, you can sure see there's a lot of dirt there.
Yeah, it's a solid dirt, covered with dirt.
I actually like the darker. I like the source better, but very interesting picture.
And it looks like I need to fix 91. You can see where the dog is walking, and in the middle and on the left side has dirt on top of the wheat checks. And you know it wasn't there on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It was there a few days later.
Dirt all over the place.
How did they get it there that fast? It was brought in pretty quickly. If that's taken on the picture above, it was entered in the system on the 13th. Figure 90?
Mm-hmm.
How did they get that much dirt in there that fast? Did he ask questions?
It's a great question, yeah.
Figure 92 on the right there, it's in front of WTC3, the stub, I call it, the little part. But he knows there's a few little venting places, but you see a whole lot of dirt. It's raining, and the dirt's washed off of the wheat checks. It's piled up there on the left. And let's see, figure 94. There's just some more pictures of looking at just the dirt across the scene. Now,
but it's still venting. I mean,
right.
You still got that fuming.
Right, but it doesn't fume where the dirt goes.
And you got a tremendous amount of very rusted steel.
But where the dirt is not where it's venting. Notice that we're down in figure 96.
Yeah.
In the foreground where all that new fresh dirt is dumped, we don't
hear
fuming. Fuming is in the distance where they probably haven't dumped the dirt yet.
Uh-huh.
Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at Liberty.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. The Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Judy Wood. Judy, we lost our musical interlude there a moment ago, but here we are back. We're at figure 96.
And, in 96, we saw that in more detail above. But 95 is one of my favorites. If you click on it, make it larger.
Uh-huh.
Some interesting things going on in this picture. First of all, look at all that dirt on the plaza level.
Yes.
Just right there in the foreground.
Yes.
The board that's laying there. In the background is just lots of dirt. How did that dirt get there? It wasn't there before. The World Trade Center complex doesn't have dirt in it, except for a few potted plants. And the left side of the picture, the very left edge of the picture over her shoulder, you see this rusted, kind of kinked ore column. And there's some wrinkled beams over there. But the interesting thing is about this dirt. I'm curious what she's looking at. It looks like there's something that looks really weird to her. Like, what is it?
It does.
And as we look across, we're standing at ground level, look directly west. You could see somebody standing over on West Street. And there should be a tower in between. There's just not much of a rubble pile there. But we'll notice if, later on that the pile gets bigger, more dirt in it. That's pretty peculiar. And this dirt also looks like it comes with debris.
Yeah, all that in the foreground.
I wonder if it came from a landfill. But let's go on to the dirt walkway.
This is 96?
Yeah, it's from the 14th of September, 3 days after 9/11. And there's a good rainstorm there, but look in the walkway, the partially collapsed walkway is filled with dirt.
We're talking about 97 and 98.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. Why would it have so much dirt in it? Good gravy.
It's loaded down with dirt. And 3 days earlier is figure 97A just below it.
Yeah.
From right after Tower 1 went poof. on 9/11, and you can see the fuming ground over there, and
yeah,
the venting, and you see the walkway, and it's got a lot more sides to it. So they were working fast to take the sides off that thing, or did it dissolve? Who knows what happened?
You know, Judy, you wonder, I mean, how many people had to know to respond so quickly with all this dirt, because the people who are putting it down are going to be very damn curious as to what's going on and why. I mean, their lives are on the line when they're out there and all this fuming is going on.
And the truck drivers, you know, they know they're not driving an empty truck.
Yeah.
A load back there.
Yeah.
And they're probably trucking stuff in, trucking stuff out, trucking stuff in, trucking stuff out, you know.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions kind of thing. But I would like to know just how much dirt they brought in and where did it come from and who organized it. That must have cost a lot of money to organize that. But you can see where the dirt is. There's no fuming going on. And the ground's kind of messed up. Now we get down to these three figures, 99, 100, A and B.
Yeah.
Figure 99 is just a few days after 9/11. And if you click on the picture and make it larger, a few things I'd like you to notice. If you were going to climb up on top of that, I call it the stub of Building 3, if you're going to climb up on the left side, think of how you'd get up there. You'd be stepping, you know, on beams to beams to beams, and then there's some loose rubble in there. It doesn't look like you could climb up very easily.
That's for sure.
Okay, and then you see a little bit of, not much, but a little bit of fuming going on back there. Now click on either one, 100 or A or B. B might be a slightly bigger picture. It's lightened. It probably doesn't need to be as lightened as it is. And this is taken a couple of weeks later.
I'm looking at 100A, and it's just like there's this huge mountain of dirt there.
Now, if you're going to, again, climb up to the top, you get a nice smooth ramp. A little bit of scrambling at the top there, but between the street and most of the way, you're walking on dirt. And notice all these diggers pushing stuff around. And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them out there. They aren't picking up debris because where are they loading it? They aren't really putting it in a truck. They're just pushing dirt around, piling it up.
Pretty strange. And, of course, this B has a huge haze all over it.
I lightened that one.
Okay.
Because it's in a large version of the other one before I cut the resolution down.
Okay.
It looks. You definitely have a lot of dirt there that wasn't there beforehand, and the pile is bigger. And now we go down to figure 101.
Who would have thought dirt could be so interesting?
Yeah. And here it looks like this guy is guarding his dirt pile up there. This is the core of, or what used to be the core of WTC-1. Not very high, but it's now getting packed down with dirt.
I think there had to be an awful lot of workers here who were curious as hell as to what was going on with all this dirt, Judy.
They probably were told that they're using it to put out the fires because the dirt will hold the, you know, wet moisture on the fire.
But they're putting it all kinds of places where there were no obvious fires.
Yeah, but you have, like, this fumes coming up from the ground. Yeah, you know, how do you explain that? And thus we have the molten metal myth. That's why that myth was so important for them to have. The story about the workers' boots, steel-toed boots, melting.
Yeah.
First time. You know, it gets repeated. Nobody stops to think, if the steel-toed boot is melting, what about the foot inside? You don't cook a turkey in an oven that's, you know, that hot.
That's right. You know, the broasting pan isn't melting while you're getting your bird hot.
Right. The oven, right? Yeah, that's an incinerator. But here's the top of this pile is packed with dirt. How do they get the dirt in there? They bring it with a chopper or dump it, or I'm curious how the dirt got in there. It wasn't filled with potted plants up and down the core. Oh, now we go on to trucking the dirt. And
that's what we got down here?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, 103A.
Well, figure 102.
All four yellow dump trucks, yeah, they seem to be empty. Oh, you think, let me open it. Oh, I see, yeah, they've got dirt. That's high-quality dirt, Judy.
They probably have a black tarp.
The four dump trucks. Oh, is there a tarp over it?
Probably so, because dirt trucks apparently have tarps over them. You can see that.
Oh, okay. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today with my special guest, Judy Wood, former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University, and in my judgment, the leading scientific expert studying the events of 9/11, focusing on the World Trade Center. Judy, we're, of course, on your website at drjudywood.co.uk and looking at Dirt 3. We're down to figures 102A.
102A is an enlargement of the upper left picture, and you can see there's something in the back of those trucks.
Yes.
They have a tarp covering them. If you look at 103A, you can see trucks that appear to be leaving. I pretty much located this area. I think they're leaving. Don't look at the green truck, but the other four trucks in front of it, in front of the green truck, has a nice, looks like a bread loaf in the back, nice brown dirt.
Yeah, nice looking dirt. And then there seems to be a tarp on the first.
Right. It looks like they go through a checkpoint and they get the tarp, peeled back up to cover the dirt.
That's right. They've got a mechanism. That's what that roll bar like thing is, that it pulls the tarp back.
And the first red truck that you see up there has its tarp is all undone.
Pulled back. Yeah, unfurled.
And you see it's black. It's a black tarp.
Yes.
So we have four dirt trucks there with nice, looks like bread loaves in there, the smooth dirt.
Yes.
And then we also saw the dirt coming in to town. So it's coming in and going out. A lot of dirt changing hands here. And if you come down to picture 103B, this is from a satellite image. And what we're looking at, the top of the picture is west, and it's one block from the World Trade Center complex. If folks are familiar with where Church and VC streets are, VC is the street that runs between the towers and Building 7. And we're further east looking up that direction, about a block over. What is interesting here is that, clip this out of the larger image, I was noticing how they didn't let the people get any closer. And we're still a block away from where you could see anything. But what we have is this big 18-wheeler truck. It just arrived on the scene. You can see right where it came from. There's only tracks from one place. It didn't come down VC Street. It came down from the right, going from right to left. It's pretty much in the center of the picture.
And it seems to be causing that pattern of what appears to be water, doesn't it?
Or something worn. There's tracks being left. You can tell where it come from.
Well, the truck seems to be leaving those tracks.
Yeah, so we know where it's come from.
Very strange.
Whether it's water or, that it's a vehicle driving through that dust. Who knows?
Gee, that's really strange.
But he's loaded down. He's got a full load. In other words, this truck is driving to the World Trade Center complex loaded down.
You know, it's funny. There's almost as though there are two. Is it maybe parked temporarily?
It could be.
There's something a little odd. Notice that trail of water, see, is almost to the right side.
I mean, it's turning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's slightly turning. Strange. Odd. Something very odd there.
But I think it's a pretty good conclusion that those tracks are from that truck.
Yes, I agree.
And where he's come from.
Well, it sounds like it might have a lot of soggy dirt in it, and the water is just leaking out.
That's a good call. But I've noticed that's Broadway, I believe, that he's on, and VC is the street on the right.
Well, it's got to have an awful lot of water in it in that short distance to leave that much of a puddle.
That's a good observation. I hadn't thought of what caused that. But, yeah, it's leaving those, it even could be running out and getting wider. And now we're going to look at 104A and 104B. 104A is probably the next day where the debris is picked up, or maybe it could be the following day, if the debris has been picked up in the yard.
This is such a waste, Judy. I look at this, and just for the sake of these monsters' political agenda, we're having to go through all this. This is such an awful waste.
And the tragedy of the foresight of bringing the dirt, those people knew what they were doing to those workers.
All the evidence that implicates, the key figures in the Bush administration is overwhelming.
Well, it's clear that there's a paper trail, it's got to be, of who ordered all those dirt trucks and where the dirt come in from. And we never heard about it in any of the media. Nobody ever questioned all these dirt trucks coming in. But they didn't overfill those trucks. So people watching those trucks drive by probably thought they're empty. But in 104A, we're looking...
Judy, that's a very astute observation, because they could have put a lot more dirt in there. I mean, they're actually deliberately running them at least 10% light, maybe 15 or 20, so that they aren't as conspicuous. Passengers, to bystanders, that's stunning.
Look at figure 102A. If you were standing on the side of the street there and watched those trucks pass, The little hump of dirt does not go above the edge. You wouldn't see it.
Yeah. You would have no idea what in the world they were doing.
And you think they're coming in to load up debris. And you wouldn't think twice about them taking out dirt.
And those are all uniform trucks coming from the same company.
And this is a couple of blocks north of the Trade Center complex, and they're heading south towards the Trade Center.
And look in the foreground. You got a couple of those flatbed trucks probably going after those toasted cars of yours, Judy.
Well, they didn't mess with the cars for a while. They were there for like a month. They mushed them up by the side of the road, but they're probably going in to get the nice wheat checks.
Too much.
So figure 104A is the front yard. I call it front yard. Wake up, Jim.
Go ahead.
Of WFC1. That's just south of Liberty Street. And... he knows that terrace in the front. They've picked up the debris, but you still have this dirt terrace.
Yeah.
And then the next picture over there, a day later or so, they put fresh dirt on it. The terrace has got...
A day later, fresh dirt. Fascinating. Now you see it, now you don't.
Another interesting thing is that marble or whatever doorway area...
Yeah, yeah.
That one particular material... has been destroyed. Nothing else. Just that one particular material.
Yeah, that's good, Judy. That's very good.
Around the doorway.
Very strange. Very strange.
So now we get to the next picture.
Do we know what that was? I would suppose it was decorative marble.
And that's what I think it was. You could say it was the... I don't believe it was the glue that holds it on, because they weren't in the street afterwards. I've got a picture of a car flipped upside down in front of that thing.
Yeah.
But the thing to notice in these two pictures is you have a terrace.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Today, my special guest is Judy Wood, and we're at her website, drjudywood.co.uk, and we're on Dirt 3 down to figure 104C. Judy.
Oh, reminding folks again about 104A and B. A, they've cleaned up the debris in the front yard.
Yeah.
Or B, they bring in new dirt to put on
it. Right, right, right.
And C, they scoop it up and haul it back out. A week later,
Amazing.
A week, 10 days later, you can see on either side of the that staircase, the bulldozers are right up to the building. They scooped it up. And look at the median up there. They scooped that dirt out, too.
Where is the front of the building, the 104C?
On the right side. See where the yellow bulldozer is aimed at the building? Okay, and see, you see the pedestrian walkway?
Right.
If you go just a little bit below the pedestrian walkway, you see a truck loaded down with stuff heading down?
Yes.
All right, go a little bit further. You see a truck with a white cab?
Yes.
On the road? All right, now make a go straight to the left of there, and you're going up the staircase.
Okay.
To WFC1.
Okay.
That's where we're taking a picture from up
above. Oh, now I see the bulldozer you're talking about. Yeah, right up to the edge of the building, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. It's
further down. Yeah, I got it. There's another one down below. In fact, there are two of them down below.
Right where that yellow bulldozer is.
Yeah.
Look above. That's where we're looking. You got a terrace there and the fresh dirt.
Mm-hmm.
10 days later, they scoop it up. You know, a week to 10 days later, they scoop it up and haul it.
I'll tell you, this is even more difficult to explain on any account involving only conventional explosives, not just the toasted cars, but the dirt.
It's difficult to explain for who ordered them to do it. How do they explain why new dirt gets put down, and then you come in and you scoop it up a week later? There should be plenty of other things to be doing. Why is that so important? And the median strip has been scooped up. And I wonder if it's like changing diapers, you know, bringing dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Take it back out. Just every week or so, you change the dirt. The dirt's absorbing something there. And if we continue on below, is a section called Rainbow. There's a picture. The original is very large, and so I cut it up in smaller portions. But you see this beautiful rainbow, and there's some water jets squirting out from there.
Yeah.
We're down at the basement level of one of the towers. I think it's Tower 1. And you got a lot of dirt down there. Why is all that dirt down there? And look at how rusty those core columns are. Now let's look at the blow-up pictures below, 104A. I call that the Gestapo picture. It looks like
right. You
know, a guy from the Gestapo there. But look at that woman standing up the hill. It's a big mountain of dirt.
Carrying a child.
And then you have this puddle in the foreground. You have water that's saturated that dirt. So saturated that the runoff is filling up that puddle. Why do you have steam, what looks like steam coming out of the dirt? The fumes. They're watering down the fumes. They're still down in, you know, at that level. And continuing down to 105 A and B,
there's
a closer picture. You can see the little river kind of flowing into that pool of water.
That's right.
That's not molten metal, that's water being delivered by that fire hose. But still you have these fumes coming out of the dirt. Pretty peculiar. That's in the end of October. And then when we move down to 106, and 106 is very striking because this is mid-March. Remember they said in December all the fires were finally out? Well, they kind of had to, because if you have nothing left, what word can you say is burning? Is the dirt just burning? But we'll get a closer look at that far corner. They're still hosing it down. It's still fuming. There's a mountain of dirt over there. And figure 107 and 108. 107, if you blow that up, you can see the hoses over there hosing down the dirt. Over by the yellow digger.
The yellow digger, yeah.
And it's kind of like the bucket is getting the water hitting it from both directions, from the right and from the left. Over on that pile. And if you look at the blow-up of the second picture, the picture on the right, you'll see the haze over in that direction.
Yes.
See why they have to wet it down. It's a tremendous amount of dirt. And that Gestapo picture and the other ones like it, where did all that dirt come from? It's an interesting thought. People talk about the 1.2 million tons of debris that were hauled away. Well, that's an estimate based on what ingredients went into building the building.
Yes.
This is an estimate. But yeah, they didn't weigh it. They had to see what was in the barge and make sure the barge wasn't sinking. Each barge load, but if they were weighing the ingredients going out, how much of it was dirt?
You might have had hundreds of thousands of tons of dirt.
Yeah, you have lots of dirt. And
hundreds of thousands of tons.
And did they deduct that, the weight of the dirt that was brought in?
This is very strange.
This way, if you were weighing, you know, what came out, you could weigh lots of dirt. We saw trucks coming and trucks going.
Could compensate for all the missing steel if you actually were weighing it. Who knows? It might even have weighed out about the same.
But the just really sad and horrible part of this is all this dirt was dumped on this sacred site. If they're looking for bodies, why are they dumping dirt on it?
That's right.
And folks who work there, maybe there's someone out there listening who remembers the dirt coming in, remembers asking questions.
Well, I'll tell you, Rudy Giuliani and Larry Silverstein know why all that dirt was there. Stand by. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, with my special guest, Judy Wood. We'll be right back. Today, my special guest is Judy Wood. We're at her website, drjudywood.co.uk, on page Dirt 3. And, Judy, I think we're down to figure 106.
Yes, looking at March 2002. Remember, in December, they announced that all the fires were out. But this March, and they still have smoke coming up out of the dirt.
Just think of the enormity of the psychological dimensions of this thing. I mean, they're having to perpetuate this deception month after month after month.
And all these rumors that get passed along about the steel-toed boots melting, and nobody would stop and think. I think it's because people need to have an answer for this puzzling phenomenon.
You're absolutely right. I mean, your toes would be roasted if your steel-toed boots are melting. What's happening to your toes?
I wonder if there's molecular dissociation going on. If your boots are standing on it, they're also getting affected by it. They're standing on a material that's degrading. It's going to degrade the bottoms of the boots.
Well, it just stuns me how hopelessly inadequate are those approaches that want to emphasize conventional explosives, thermite and thermate. It's ridiculous. It can't begin to explain this either.
It's part of the psyop. Just like on 9/11, when the streets were fuming and the fumes started coming up out of the pile, there starts the rumor, an urban legend, of molten metal. And folks needed an explanation. They got it, and they didn't want to look for it. They just grabbed it and ran with it, and they repeated it, and it became real in their mind.
We're talking about a social mechanism of psychological reinforcement where many people or many sources saying the same thing lead to the inducement of a false belief. It's a fascinating phenomenon.
Correct. And as we talked about before, steel was rusting almost instantly. That doesn't make sense unless it's been taken apart molecularly. And rusting, and fire doesn't do that. Actually, those fires out by Lake Tahoe, friend sent me some pictures of some toasted cars from there. They were rusty.
They were rusty.
They were not rusty.
They were not rusty.
They were burned. Fire hoses had put out the fire, and there's not much left of the car. It was a Jeep or something like that, but it wasn't. All the paint was burned off, but there was no rust. It takes a long time for steel to rust. So if something instantly rusts, you have to wonder why. You have to ask why. But the other thing is we talked about was these diggers or the grapplers. They can't withstand much heat. Their hydraulics quit working. Any hydraulic equipment, it tells you that that place can't be hot. But folks don't stop and think of that much. They just need an answer. They need an explanation. What happened? And as soon as they're given an answer, they run with it. And first impression sticks. Like we were talking before about the psyops with tampered photographs so that when you see the real thing, you won't see what's in it. You won't see the reality of it. And that's the harm with putting out fake evidence. And that's what was going on day one, the story of the molten metal. And it gets repeated to the point that folks just believe it without looking at it logically. So we're just looking at the data and seeing what the data tells us. We see here in figures 107 and 108, these grapplers are still working. They're getting kind of rusty looking, but they're still in operation, so that cannot be hot. What's causing that steam to come up out of the dirt? We could go on to the next page, page 4 again. Just
sure.
Let's that.
Let's do that.
Here it comes.
Yeah, we're back to the Cheeto page.
So here's what needs to be covered up. It all starts coming together. You see these fumes coming up from the ground, and we're presented with that Cheeto picture and told it's molten metal, or it's suggested to us that it's molten metal. And folks grab onto that, and they quit looking at what's in the picture. What I first saw is that Cheeto down in the bottom left corner. It's all about the same color around it is, and that doesn't make sense. You would have a graded coloring because it can't all be the same temperature at the same time. You know, if you get further away from the heat source, and it's not.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. It shouldn't be the same color, yeah.
So this uniform color, which I believe now is rust.
And maybe has the color been adjusted? I don't know. The grappler looks natural. But what it's holding does not.
You can select different colorations to alter. You don't have to do the whole picture the same. And that's what I demonstrated down below with that those orange pipes. But here again, we have the hydraulics temperature scale. It says they can't take temperatures over 82 degrees centigrade or 180 degrees Fahrenheit. And let's skip down to a closer look at PSYOPs of 9/11.
Good.
First impression stick. If you've never been told anything about these pictures, let's say figure 135, you'll look at it and say, what's going on in this picture? And you'll scratch your head and start looking, and you see dust trailing off of these pieces of steel as they fall. And my, that's a pretty peculiar thing to be going on. But instead, we're first introduced to that picture by being shown 136, which has been tampered with. And then told, that's evidence of thermite. Oh, okay, so people quit looking. But then when they see 135, the original photo, they quit looking for what's going on, and they just say, reinforces it. It's like a type of brainwashing. The psyops, that part of the next section isn't complete yet, but let's go down to the green box, figure 115, and recall again, we have rescue workers looking for survivors climbing down into a wet basement of Tower 2. And it's a big, empty hole in the ground. They didn't get excavating equipment down there and pull out six stories of material. It's an empty space, and it's got a puddle down there, so it's not flooded. So we didn't have a destroyed bathtub wall, functionally destroyed. There's plenty of fire hoses, so water's got to go somewhere. But we don't have molten metal down there. And this other rumor of molten metal running for 6 weeks, six or 3 weeks later, or I forget what the time scale they give is, but several weeks later and the molten metal is still running, where is it running? Around a racetrack? Jim, do you have any ideas?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm listening to you, Judy.
is it, you know, if it runs down into the basement, it would have hit the water.
Sure.
Down there. Or, and it's some...
Well, I think there's just overwhelming evidence now that there really wasn't molten metal, that it really was a copper story, and that what was going on here was the necessity to conceal the residue, the fuming that was continuing from the process of molecular dissociation that was going to go on for months.
And if you say the pile is that hot, I look at figure 115, it's down below the grilled cheese sandwich.
Right.
You have a bunch of diggers out there with that fuming coming up from the ground. How did they drive out there? How did the operator get the thing out there if it was all hot? It would quit working by the time it got there.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Judy Wood. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Okay. Concluding my conversation with Judy Wood, the leading scientific expert on the events of 9/11, focusing on the World Trade Center. And Judy, at this point in time, I think we're somewhere around figures 135 and 136.
And I've moved down to the fuming rust area of page 4.
Okay.
And that's a good place to kind of conclude this, and there's something else I would like to add.
The molten metal section, 1112 and so forth?
Yeah, look at figure 116.
Okay, 116, right.
The orange fuming.
Oh, fuming rust, got it. Yeah, 116 is a stunning photograph.
And we have several of these diggers out there digging around in this, so we know it's not hot because it would ruin the equipment. It wouldn't be able to keep working.
Right.
And lots of dirt out there.
Lots of dirt.
And steel turning to rust and fuming up in the air.
Yeah, this is a fascinating photograph.
And we don't see fires. We don't see what could be on fire. I mean, steel on fire? Yeah, it's a bizarre image. And I can't stress enough the importance of looking at the evidence, looking at the data and see what the data tells you. Don't be in a hurry to jump to conclusions. The data will tell you if you observe the data. And whatever answer is out there has to be consistent with this data. So we see that it's not hot, but we have the material just vaporizing like at room temperature. That's bizarre. Now, something that we're going to be putting together in the future, I'm working with someone else on this, from last weekend, there's several videos that have been released where they had this conference to decide if it was dew or thermite or mini nukes. But, of course, they don't invite me there.
Are we talking about Vancouver?
Yes. They wouldn't want to see the evidence.
Well, it's quite ridiculous, Judy, that they should have a discussion about any of the technical issues here and you not be central to it. I mean,
here's a I've got some of the partial transcript that Andrew Johnson has been working on of this video between this conversation between Deagle and Jones.
Yes.
Jones says, I thought that was a good place to start. We agree, first of all, that the discussion should be evidence-based. And Deagle says, oh, absolutely. It can't be based on opinion. And Jones comes back and says, it needs to be based on solid evidence, okay? We agree on that. I don't think this is the place to go into the evidence.
That's so ridiculous.
That's even. And he said, I want to... A little bit later, one to establish what we agree on. Jones says, oh, and I think we both looked at the directed energy weapons, and Deagle says, there's no evidence. There's no evidence of that. Yeah, end of story. Don't want to look at it.
I guess they're none so blind as those who cannot see. I mean, all you have to do is spend time on your website, Judy, and the evidence is overwhelming.
Right. But
look at this photograph, for example. How in the world could Steve Jones, thermite, and conventional explosives begin to explain the phenomena we're observing here?
This is the best part. Right soon after that is Jones says, let me try one more while we're on a roll here and agreeing. How about the no planes hit the towers? And Deagle says, that's ridiculous. Jones says, okay, I agree with you. It's a fact.
And, of course, they lay out the evidence that supports their dismissal, right? Their vast ignorance of video fakery, for example, not even having viewed September clues, I surmise.
They didn't examine any evidence. It's like they agreed they're not going to look at evidence, and so therefore their opinion counts. It's what they believe.
And yet there are scientists who are evidence-based. In fact, they only believe in hard evidence. Isn't that right? And that's why they don't look at any evidence when it comes to issues that they'd prefer not be true.
And what was released in the press release a few days before this?
Yeah.
That press release about Flight 77?
Yeah.
That it couldn't fit the Pentagon?
Yes, mine. Scholar's press release?
Yes, and
yes.
That's evidence-based.
Yes.
Here we have evidence that Flight 77 did not hit the Pentagon.
That's absolutely right.
So why, you know, where's the evidence base? But in looking through this, we're realizing how the PSYOPs works. It's telling people the opposite of what you're doing.
It's a lot of double speak, you know, and this little exchange with him and Deagle is such a perfect example.
And there's some more that Andrew just mailed me. It says, you know, Joan says, let me see if we can actually get to 1/10 of a kiloton fusion bombs. We have a solution to our energy problems. I don't hesitate. You know, without using fission as an initiation, I really doubt that those exist. Are you sure they exist? And Deagle says, that's what I was told. Joan says, who told? And he stops the statement. Deagle says, it was a special op agent that told me this.
What was it the special op agent told him?
Yeah.
What was it he told him?
About this, that 1/10 kiloton fusion bombs.
Oh, it was a special ops agent who told him it was these fusion bombs. I see.
And you kind of wonder who that op was.
That is an interesting question.
And it seems to be kind of revealed between the lines in that conversation.
Well, of course we would agree that this is an hypothesis that has to be explored. I mean, we don't want to dismiss it without examining the evidence for it or against it. But taking someone's word for it doesn't seem to me to count as very forceful evidence.
But why does Jones stop mid-sentence? Isn't he supposed to ask Deagle, who told him this? Surely Deagle would just say, I can't tell you. Jones has no need to worry, does he?
That's very curious.
There's a lot of really interesting statements in there about what goes back and forth, but the part that really got me is we're based on evidence. Oh, we don't need to look at the evidence. We'll just agree on it and establish it's true.
I'm going to have to take a good look at this exchange, Judy. I gather it's posted on 9/11 Blogger.
No, we're Andrew's working up the transcript, and we're going to post.
Terrific.
Of it. So
it'll be available on your site, too?
Yep.
Wonderful.
He's doing a great job of this, but there's some really interesting things that come out in there, as well as predicting the next false flag.
Yeah, that's kind of scary that he was saying, if there is another one, send me your dust samples. That was the idea?
Yeah, run right in there. Don't worry about your hazmat suit. Run right in there and grab the dust and send it to me, and don't save any more because I'll keep your sample safe.
So he can have control of the only dust samples and be the sole source of information about them? I mean, what's that say about his concept of replicability of scientific research? What you'd want is as many different samples as you could possibly obtain.
I added that last comment. But as for the whatever sample he claims to have tested, it's not a double-blind study.
Yes.
It'd be scientific. If he's going to use the scientific method...
That's right. He shouldn't know the source of the dust, where it came from, and who provided it.
And should not just have one source. He should be given blind samples.
Of course, I've never seen anyone get so much mileage out of one little sample of dust in the history of scientific research. This is really quite stunning. He's got the longest track record for studying that dust of anyone ever.
Well, it's never been conclusive. It's always preliminary. But you can't convict anyone on that evidence. It would be thrown out of court.
Sure, there's no chain of custody. Dust has a nonspecific origin. I've always been stunned by his arrow going from the 80th floor of the South Tower right into that woman's apartment as though he could track it.
And still, testing some dust, you can't know what significance that has. What proportion? That's a biased sample.
Judy, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. It's always a great pleasure, and I always learn so much. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Thank you all for listening.